Good morning, everyone. As always, it's an honor to be with you today. I haven't been able to do a video for some weeks. As you know, I suffer with chronic pain, and I haven't been able to. It's very hard to edit as we do these with video. But today is so important. I believe it's such an important topic that I wanted to present it in video, and we're going to see that's one of the blessings of sermon audio. And, of course, modern technology is that for the first time in world history, faithful pastors, many smarter and more faithful than myself, can get their sermons out and to be able to hear the spoken word. As it's been said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Very true. Scriptures are beautiful when it comes to that point. And we want to be able to hear the word and to be able to see a speaker deliver a sermon, and you never know which sermon it'll be that might transform the church or the world. It's such a blessing. It's very concerning, and that's why I wanted to address this today. This is a part of sermon series where I will be bringing up topics that might not be normally discussed, but I believe it's very important. Our sermon audio has been such a blessing as a ministry, and I believe it would be a shame for the group of pastors that it's collected to broadcast their sermons, to start to infight or to get angry with one another, not have a spirit of forgiveness, especially over COVID-19 or the coronavirus, as people were calling it, and the pandemic that ensued. Now, an article was written by someone in a very influential magazine, The Atlantic. And the reason why it's named The Atlantic, it's the word, published word of propaganda for the power center, the New England old blue blood money and the money of the British Empire and the banking system. So when something appears in The Atlantic, you can bet that's going to be a narrative on all the news stations and all of the newspapers. The narrative, the story they told us about the pandemic, and even worse, the vaccines that hurt so many people, it's falling apart. And they know that big trouble is coming and it can't be controlled. So what I wanted to do was deliver a sermon. And the title of today's sermon is Sermon Audio and COVID-19 Forgiveness. Because the article I'm going to read you, and I'll put a link to it. You must read it yourself. It's one of the most important articles someone can read in maybe the last 50 years, because this person is putting forth the idea that for all that has been done to us by those in leadership and those around us, all the mistakes that were made regarding the pandemic, COVID-19, the lockdowns, the vaccines, that we should have a heart of forgiveness and literally amnesty to just forget a lot of what was done. Now, the public is irate over this, both sides of the political spectrum, from Democrat to Republican to Independent, because so many people were hurt by the mistakes that were made between the lockdowns and the vaccines. And what I pray it doesn't do, and I think this needs to be discussed, and we'll get into it today, is this has to be a topic of discussion now for mature Christian pastors. And we need to get this out that, yes, there should be forgiveness and a type of amnesty, but it should be for those that are faithful, and especially in the ministry, that made honest mistakes. So I'm not here to do a I told you so type sermon. Certain things that some of us saw that God enabled us to see, it was for the benefit of the church. It wasn't to condemn anyone else that might not have seen it. So I'm going to read you this article, show you what's being proposed, and then I'm going to show you the threat that it is, even to the faithful church and to faithful ministers. People, including myself, have lost family members, friends. This is a big deal. So the anger and the resentment and the raw emotion, it's going to be real, because as I spoke about last year, predictions for 2022, that's what got me thrown off of the YouTube and other internet venues, was that we're going to discover that this vaccine, the main motivation was to help control the population during this economic collapse. It had nothing to do with our health, and most people didn't know any better. And for them, we need amnesty and forgiveness, but there are those at the top, many of them, that did know exactly what they were doing. And it was for population control and for tracking people and for testing how far they could go to control us, because they're afraid they're losing control. And they know that the only thing that keeps us together, a multicultural society, empire, is money. And once the money goes, they'll lose control. But with all the injuries that are going to continue to be discovered, is going to be a lot of anger, a lot of raw emotion. And I think we need to get ahead of this in the church. I know we need to get ahead of this. And faithful ministries like Sermon Audio and the individual ministries should not be broken up over this. So let's pray. We'll get into the sermon right away. I'll read you the article that set off this controversy, and we'll ask for God's blessing. Almighty God, the great and living God, I pray, Lord, that during these troubling times, you would give wisdom to those in ministry. You would give wisdom to your servants. I pray, Lord, today that my message would come across as a message of healing and humbleness and faith in you and being grateful to you for your word and for the wisdom you give us from your word. I pray, Lord, that with all of the hurt, all of the sickness and death that has come about, even amongst your Christian people, because of this horrible pandemic and the evil, nefarious schemes that were carried out against us, that, Lord, we would find healing and forgiveness within the church, and that we wouldn't add to the evil by not following your commands. So we pray, Lord, that a spirit of forgiveness and humility and love, as you describe so beautifully in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, that would be the main theme of the church as we work through this horror that we have all lived through. Our own governments exerting population control, and this vaccine, these vaccines being a part of it. So I pray, Lord, you would give me wisdom today. And I pray, Lord, that this message would help people to heal and that it would bring peace, especially amongst the faithful. And we beg you, Lord, for this, in the name of your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen. So the article appeared in The Atlantic. Now, you have to understand, all media, major media, is propaganda. It basically tells us motivations and the wishes of the elites, both political and societal, and The Atlantic is no exception. Now, if I've been telling you, as we melt down this former European empire of the Northern Atlantic, it's funny that the article that set off the firestorm is in a periodical called The Atlantic, because it is the center of power and money and planning. So I'm going to read you the article. I guarantee no one would have imagined that this type of article would have been written, as our, quote, trust the science people was so confident in what they were saying. And it was so easy to deceive so many during the heightened fear of the pandemic. And remember, we were condemned for not wearing masks. Little children were condemned, thrown out of school. Preschoolers were abused, had their faces covered with masks all day. People lost their jobs. I mean, it was horrific. And then you have an article like this, which just appeared. And I give you a link so you can read it yourself in the PDF. So this is in The Atlantic magazine. Let's declare a pandemic amnesty. Let's focus on the future and fix the problems we still need to solve, by Emily Oster. Now, this is not a personal attack on the writer. This is someone who obviously was pushed to do this. This has an agenda. It is not a personal attack on this woman or her family. I just want to read you the article and show you what's coming ahead of time and why it's so important that the church discusses this now, so good people aren't destroyed. So let's read this quickly, very short article. And this is her speaking. In April 2020, okay, 2 years ago, with nothing else to do, my family took an enormous number of hikes. We all wore cloth masks that I had made myself. We had a family hand signal, which the person in the front would use if someone was approaching on the trail, and we needed to put on our masks. Once, when another child got too close to my then 4-year-old son on a bridge, he yelled at her, "Social distancing!" You remember all this. These precautions were totally misguided. In April 2020, no one got the coronavirus from passing someone else hiking. Outdoor transmission was vanishingly rare. Our cloth masks, made out of old bandanas, wouldn't have done anything anyway. But the thing is, we didn't know. I have been reflecting on this lack of knowledge thanks to a class I'm co-teaching at Brown University on COVID. We spent several lectures reliving the first year of the pandemic, discussing the many important choices we had to make under conditions of tremendous uncertainty. Some of these choices turned out better than others. To take an example close to my own work, there is an emerging, if not universal, consensus that schools in the U.S. were closed for too long, you think? The health risks of in-school spread were relatively low, whereas the cost of students' well-being and educational progress were high. The latest figures on learning loss are alarming, but in spring and summer 2020, we had only glimmers of information. Reasonable people who cared about children and teachers, advocated on both sides of the reopening debate. Another example, when the vaccines came out, we lacked definitive data on the relative efficacies of the Johnson & Johnson shot versus the mRNA options from Pfizer and Moderna. The mRNA vaccines have won out, but at the time, many people in public health were either neutral or expressed a Johnson & Johnson preference. This misstep wasn't nefarious. It was a result of uncertainty. Now I'm stopping my reading of the article for a quick second. Recently, in front of the whole European Commission, one of the executives of Pfizer admitted that they released this vaccine and they did, in fact, lie, that they had to follow the science quickly and they knew that the vaccine was not effective against the transmission or the spread of the virus. And they're now being sued by politicians in Europe. How soon it'll follow in America? I'm sure pretty quickly. But just so you know, these are lies within the article, and this is why people are so upset. They knew the research, okay? Obviously, some people intended to mislead and made widely irresponsible claims. Remember when the public health community had to spend a lot of time and resources urging Americans not to inject themselves with bleach? That was bad. Misinformation was and remains a huge problem, but most errors were made by people who were working in earnest for the good of society. Given the amount of uncertainty, almost every position was taken on every topic, and on every topic, someone was eventually proved right and someone else was proved wrong. In some instances, the right people were right for the wrong reasons. In other instances, they had a prescient understanding of the available information. The people who got it right for whatever reason may want to gloat. Those who got it wrong for whatever reason may feel defensive and retrench into a position that doesn't accord with the facts. All of this gloating and defensiveness continues to gobble up a lot of social energy and to drive the culture wars, especially on the internet. These discussions are heated, unpleasant, and ultimately unproductive. In the face of so much uncertainty, getting something right had a hefty element of luck, and similarly, getting something wrong wasn't a moral failing. Treating pandemic choices as a scorecard on which some people racked up more points than others is preventing us from moving forward. We have to put these fights aside and declare a pandemic amnesty. Now, everything she's saying for the secular world, this is good for the Christian world, for those who are faithful. Honest mistakes were made. So we can leave out the willful purveyors of actual misinformation while forgiving the hard calls that people had no choice but to make with imperfect knowledge. Los Angeles County closes beaches in summer 2020. Ex post facto, this makes no more sense than my family's masked hiking trips. But we need to learn from our mistakes and then let them go. We need to forgive the attacks too. But I thought schools should reopen and argued that kids as a group were not at high risk. I was called a teacher killer and a genocider. It wasn't pleasant, but feelings were high. And I certainly don't need to dissect and rehash that time for the rest of my days. Moving on is crucial now because the pandemic created many problems that we still need to solve. Student test scores have shown a stark decline, more so in math than in reading, and more so for students who were disadvantaged at the start. We need to collect data, experiment, and invest. Okay, and it continues to go on. But the point is, they're not even addressing. They're going to say that the deaths that are happening now and what will continue to happen are from neglecting health care, but it's not from neglecting health care. It's from the vaccines themselves, which are toxic. It doesn't mean that everyone is going to have a death sentence because they took the vaccine. These are conspiracy theories thrown in to discredit people like myself who are responsible and just looking at the studies and the proof and the epidemiological results that we had. Okay, and I came out and said early on, you're not going to get the shot and just die on the floor. Not everyone will have an anaphylactic reaction like that. But they were toxic. They knew they were toxic. They knew they were experimental. And yet we had those in high authority positions of influence telling us that we were irresponsible if we didn't take it and we wanted to wait for some results to come out. And they were lying and telling us, including the president, the former president, CEOs, saying that if you take the vaccine, it'll keep you from being hospitalized, you won't get the virus, and you won't spread it. And they guilt-tripped everyone, including many faithful, beautiful Christians, into getting these experimental vaccines and encouraging others to do so. So this is the article that has lit a fire. What they're not telling you is the health effects. This is what is going to cause serious division in the church, and this is why it needs to be addressed now. And this is why I took the risk of presenting this sermon. I pray it's well received. It is not out of animosity or out of I told you so type attitude. I don't want faithful ministries to be broken up. It was a time of high tension and confusion. All of the media, all the apparatus of the government, everything they had was programmed to scare us, and no one, including myself, is perfect, and we have all been scammed before. That's part of life, because we are imperfect. So I'm actually asking for understanding for those that were tricked by this and deceived, and that's point number two in my sermon. So the first point was to bring them this article. So this Atlantic magazine article set off a firestorm of backlash after publishing an article regarding the pandemic. In the article, the author Emily Oster asked us to forgive and forget many of the mistakes that were made based on ignorance. The problem is those in charge of the pandemic reaction knew the lockdowns and vaccines were useless. These mea culpa type articles, right? My fault, my responsibility, I'm owning this, will continue to be written only because the horrific side effects of being vaccinated are becoming mainstream. Insurance companies that are apolitical, they're not Democrat, they're not Republican, are just publishing results. 80% increase, a once in 400 years increase in unnatural deaths for people, according to their statistics. Life insurance companies who don't care, they're just about making money. And they're saying that young people, the age group between 18 and 35, those which usually don't die unless it's something extraordinary, are dying. There's a huge increase in these deaths. This is the type of information that's going to come out. So all of these people, your middle management, they influence us, but they're not on the top. They don't want to be hung from lampposts. So they're getting into this damage control. So you'll see a lot of these articles saying, hey, can't we all just get along and move past this? Now, people legitimately are saying, You forced me to put an experimental vaccine in my body to keep my job. Some of my family members have died from this. Some of the treatments in the hospital for COVID were bogus and killed people in my family. You want me to just forgive that? You called me a demon for 3 years. So I understand the anger. We don't want this to happen in the church. I'm here today to be a peacemaker and to have you understand that we should have a spirit of forgiveness in the church, especially amongst faithful people. We need each other right now. We cannot let this tear us up. So forgiving people does not mean ignoring crimes that they committed. Those who committed crimes must be prosecuted. So those who are in charge and had the studies, had the information, or had the training to understand what they were looking at should be held responsible. And this is a mistake that even, you know, a lot of our liberal churches have made. We can forgive someone for committing a murder or even being a mass murderer, but they still have to pay the penalty according to God's law, natural law. They should be put to death. So you could give them a chance to repent for the crime they've committed, yet you still need justice. Justice and restitution needs to be served. So it's the same thing with the whole pandemic and with these vaccines. Some people made honest mistakes. They should be forgiven. And we need to find that within ourselves. But those who are criminally responsible, we should never hate them, as we're going to see from our scripture reading. But justice needs to be served. This cannot just be whitewashed and everyone gets away with the crimes they committed. And in a lot of ways, that's what this article is asking for. Now, when it comes to the ministry, when it comes to great services and ministries like Sermon Audio, what am I concerned about? This is point number two in my sermon. Mature Christian leaders must start addressing the issues brought up in this article now. Faithful ministries like Sermon Audio should not be weakened over issues like this. Sermon Audio has been the new printing press in the fight to reform the church once again. Many faithful pastors and their message will continue to be banned on the other platforms. That is why this service to God's people is essential. So Sermon Audio, the way the printing press broke forth, people forget when the printing press was first came about, Gutenberg's printing press, the early 1500s, they printed out pornography, racy novels. The Bible came later. So it's the same thing with the internet, with all the filth on the internet. To have a faithful ministry that's giving faithful ministers a voice, people like myself who have been banned from other internet entities and streaming services, to ruin that by infighting over what I'm telling you, a lot of people were caught off guard by this and made honest mistakes. Sermon Audio is not the website of millionaire pastors. This is not Trinity Broadcasting Network. So a lot of them, like myself, work with, you know, were bivocational or we had work before retirement. These are not people that were making money off of promoting the vaccine. So I'm telling you, I do ask for an attitude of forgiveness towards pastors who are proponents of the vaccine on this platform, okay? Many stood up against the lockdowns, but trusted the science when it came to the vaccines. I personally know faithful pastors who have harmed themselves and their own families with the vaccines. They were truly deceived and did not have a nefarious motive behind their support of the vaccine. I know pastors that broadcast on this service that I will not name, that were supportive of the vaccines, and they did not mean to harm anyone. And I'm telling ministers like that, if you are one of those, don't double down. What this woman said in the article is, I'm sorry, it's my legs, is actually faithful in that don't double down on a mistake that was made. Just let people know you made an honest mistake and get ahead of this. We need to heal in the church. Sermon Audio is like the printing press in the 1500s. We get to reach millions of people with a faithful interpretation of the Word of God. Let's not it be ruined. So I'm one of those, if you go back into my sermons 2-3 years ago, God blessed me with seeing this. And I'm not saying, I told you so, and I am not asking for the condemnation of ministers that back these vaccines ignorantly. And now in my next point, I'm going to explain why many ministers, especially the older pastors and ministers, were deceived by this. Because when they were growing up in the 40s, 50s, even into the 1960s, government supported a culture of life. They didn't see this coming. Government programming, paid for by the U.S. government, by European governments, used to give public service messages on how to identify a homosexual. You could still see some of these on YouTube. They warned young people how not to do drugs, how not to get involved in sexual perversion. Because up until the 60s, governments of the world believed they needed a healthy population and healthy people to serve in the armies to keep the nation going. This all changed, and many did not see it. They didn't notice it. And I'm going to give you another link to the Club of Rome, which started all of this. But just to reiterate, these many ministers were truly deceived. These are not some of your mainstream guys making money, doing political favors. Many people were injured by the vaccines themselves. People and their families suffered. So I'm asking for this discussion to be had. Let us not have the breakup of essential ministries like a sermon audio. What was a vision of, from what I understand, from what I've seen, what I've been told, what I've read in the literature, Stephen Lee, to get faithful preaching put on the internet, especially firebrands like the now deceased Pastor Paisley, Ian Paisley, became a vision that I don't even think he understood what he was doing. It was led by God. So this is one of the few venues left where you could actually come to the website, play a sermon, and there are a lot of, you know, working class blue collar preachers just trying to get a true gospel message out. And I don't want it ruined. And I don't want into Nicene fighting. And that's why I wanted to present this sermon today. Forgive those who panicked, who were deceived, and who made mistakes. So in the world, many people did this. They were motivated by greed or other things. But I'm telling you, a lot of good people were deceived. And we need to forgive them. And if you're one of those who were deceived, as these injuries and deaths mount up, come out now and just admit that I didn't know and that your motivation was a good one. So some of you went so far as to say that the vaccines were a miracle or a blessing from God. Everyone oversteps at times what they say. You know, that's why we have to be very careful when we say, thus saith the Lord. Did he really say that? And my point from the beginning has been, if we've had this culture of death from the 1970s, do we really support a medical industry that castrates children, pushes transgender surgeries, abortion, perverted lifestyles? Could we really trust them with an experimental vaccine? But again, everyone has a blind spot. Everyone makes mistakes. And I'm asking for healing. We are going to need mature Christians in this coming calamity. The old white Western European world that is betraying Jesus Christ, the King that built them and gave them this power to spread the gospel, is being judged, and we all need each other to survive. We need each other. So I'm asking for forgiveness. Now, I'll tell you, when the paradigm shift was exactly, I'll give you a link to look at it yourself. Why were so many blindsided by this? Well, it came from the Club of Rome. And I will explain, this is point number three, last point of my sermon, I will explain why I believe so many older pastors had a blind spot regarding vaccinations. Gate grew up in a world before the Club of Rome and its paradigm shift regarding population growth. In the early 1970s, the governments of the world started to see their own people as the number one threat to their survival. That's why Prince Philip, who died before Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England, Prince Philip said if he could be reincarnated, he would come back as a virus to kill most of humanity because we're ruining the planet. So this is their religion. It is a cult of death, but they believe that in getting rid of people like you and me, they're saving the planet. They're actually doing their God's work with a little g. Okay, so this is religious to them. That's why they want us to change from regular fossil fuels, gas and diesel and coal. And Europe and America, we're all going to be freezing this winter, because we can't afford the fuel costs. They're telling us to change over to windmill power and battery-powered cars, and the technology isn't there yet. Knowing if they get away with this, half of us may die, because this is their religion. They see us as the enemy. This Club of Rome, what a name, right? This group convinced the leaders of the world that the number one threat to their power and survival, the royal families, those power from the government, was us. That you no longer, for example, in America, you didn't need a healthy population, a virile and virulent population to fight those communists in a war. We have technology now. But we don't need all these people. We can press buttons and launch missiles. Too many people that are actually poisoning the world. And that's why you see this culture shift in music, in movies, the British invasion, which was a British psyops invasion, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, having kids grow their hair long, do drugs, and same thing in the movies, and the rural purge, all those country westerns pulled out, now urban, metropolitan, perverted comedies and movies were made. It was all for a reason. These were weapons being used to bring the population down. So that older group didn't see it. Many people didn't see it because they have the 1950s, early 1960s mentality. When governments did care about you, they did want you to stay alive. So this is why all of a sudden the culture of death began being pushed en masse. The unholy trinity of birth control, perversion, and euthanasia became the goal of Western world governments. This is not a conspiracy theory, but a well-published goal of Western governments. This is all you hear. The whole Club of Rome, all their goals from the 1970s are in the news today. Population control, birth control, euthanasia, climate change, they're all there. I'm going to give you the links, and I'm going to read it to you. This is an article right on Wikipedia, explaining what is the Club of Rome, what do they do. Club of Rome is a nonprofit, informal organization of intellectuals and business leaders whose goal is a critical discussion of pressing global issues. The Club of Rome was founded in 1968. So all you pastors and ministers, you know, 50 years, 60 years old, especially and older, you didn't see it coming. You grew up in a world where the medical establishment, governments, the queen, could be trusted at one time. They needed a population, they felt, to work in the fields and the factories and to defend the nation. All that changed at this time. Founded in 1968 at Accademia dei Lincei in Rome, Italy. Antichrist alive and well. It consists of 100 full members selected from current and former heads of state and government, UN administrators, high-level politicians, and government officials. This is not conspiracy theory. It's telling you right on the site. Diplomats, scientists, economists, and business leaders from around the globe. It stimulated considerable public attention in 1972 with the first report to the Club of Rome. And what was the first paper and book they published? The Limits to Growth. Since the first... Yeah, Okay, so the Club of Rome was founded in April 1968 by Aurelio Peccei, an Italian industrialist, and Alexander King, Director General for Scientific Affairs at the OECD. It was formed with a small international group of people from the fields of academia, civil society, diplomacy, and industry, met at Villa Farnesina in Rome, hence the name. The limits to growth. The Club of Rome stimulated considerable public attention with the first report to the club, The Limits to Growth. Published in 1972, its computer simulation suggested that economic growth could not continue indefinitely because of resource depletion. And we see it coming to fruition 50 years later. That's how long, I mean, this has been in the works longer, but 50 years later, after this paper was published, it's here. If you have too many kids, you're poisoning the environment. Women that murder their children are celebrated. We see that what's happening now with the limit they want on fossil fuels, the limit in food, natural food, the way it's grown. They want everything 3D printed. It's all here, all of their agenda, their whole agenda. So when you go to the actual website itself, the Club of Rome, just look at the front page and you'll see what their agenda is. So again, this is why some pastors, especially older, didn't see this coming. It's a paradigm shift that passed them by. Now the Club of Rome, right on the front page. This is not conspiracy. It's their public website. The Limits to Growth Plus 50, Global Equity for a Healthy Planet. So they're saying, this is it. Our vision is an interconnected world. And you see emerging new civilizations, planetary emergency, reframing economics, rethinking finance. All this going after the youth leadership, and intergenerational dialogues. So all this is about this new face of communism, this eco-communism, saving the planet, where all of us are going to have to give up most of our rights and what we have. This is what the World Economic Forum is about. They want the first world to give up all we have, basically shut up and die, reduce our numbers, and then they'll get to the third world after. So this is all about death, climate change, all of it. This is the group. So in this culture of death, how could we trust them? But some were deceived. And again, everyone has blinders on, including myself. We all come from a culture, from a set of circumstances, that sometimes we can't see the evil we should. And this COVID-19, this pandemic, definitely blindsided a lot of people. And someone has to say it, right? But what a shame. Don't destroy good ministries or rub salt in a wound with people that wanted to be faithful and made a mistake on this. So even though I wasn't one of those that in this particular instance made a mistake, I've made many other mistakes in my ministries and in my life, and I'm not going to be a Pharisee, and I'm asking for forgiveness within the church, within those that are faithful in the church. Let us not destroy ourselves over this. So please address this situation soon. Get ahead of it with your church, because so many more deaths and so much more sickness is coming. And once people see their children getting sick, if you didn't come out ahead of this, many of you in your ministries will be held to account by parents and grandparents and those who are attending your church. So be open, be honest. And now I leave you with Matthew chapter 5. And after hearing this, I ask any of you who is a mature Christian and faithful, how can you read this and not offer forgiveness to those who might have been deceived in the church? and especially many of our faithful brothers that broadcast on Sermon Audio. I want to see this blessing of a ministry, as well as many of the ministers that broadcast on this service, make it through this. So I leave you with Matthew chapter 5 without comment. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. I pray for the church. I pray for the faithful ministries. I pray for those trying to make a difference. And I pray for healing. And God's sovereignty above all, and King Jesus above all. Amen. Our great and living God, we ask you, Lord, to forgive us for our sins. We ask you, Lord, to forgive those who were meant to be watchmen and weren't. We pray, Lord, for mercy from you first. We also pray, Lord, for peace, especially within the church, within your people that are striving, Lord, that want to be close to you, that want to be faithful. We pray, Lord, that we can pull through this judgment that you are unleashing on a wicked generation, those who you built up like children that you raised that have now turned their back on you, many of these nations that were formerly a Christian in their confessions and in their attitudes. We pray, Lord, you continue to protect the faithful as these judgments are poured out. And we love you, Lord. And we always praise you. And we always pray in the name of our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Be faithful and be well. God bless.